I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Praise, oh praise Jehovah, earth and sea and skies. Softly let the echo of our praises rise. Sweetest praises sing. Sing to our heavenly King. It is good to praise Thee, Lord of earth and heaven. Thou for us hast suffered, Thou Thy life hast given. Only good art Thou. Christ we honor, 'tis of Thee we sing. Louder still and louder shall Thy praises ring. Holy Heavenly Lord, be by all adored. Holy Heavenly
Thank you, men, for that song of praise to lift our spirits to the Lord. I welcome each of you listening today to this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted you've joined me for our time of study in the Word of God today. As I reflected on the song the men sang at the beginning of the program, my mind was drawn to several verses in Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 12 and 13 of that chapter speak about how Jesus suffered for us. And then verse 15 gives us this exhortation. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good for us to praise You. Everything we have, everything we are, and everything we hope to be is only because of You. We praise and honor and exalt Your holy name because You alone are worthy of our worship and our praise. We offer the sacrifice of praise even now as we give thanks for Your mercy, love, and grace. We bless You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Sacrifice. It's not a popular word in our culture that's focused on self-gratification. We don't want to give. We'd rather get. We don't want to let go. We'd rather grasp tightly. Sacrifice requires a cost, an expenditure of time and money, or energy. We'd rather have payment made to us. It's unfortunate, but for many professing Christians, the concept of sacrifice is just as unpopular. And for some, it's completely unknown. Soren Kierkegaard said, and I'm quoting, "I went into a church and sat on the velvet pew. I watched as the sun came shining through the stained glass windows. The minister, dressed in a velvet robe, opened the golden gilded Bible, marked it with a silk bookmark, and quoted the words of Jesus. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, sell what he has, give it to the poor, and follow me. There's a disconnect there, wouldn't you say? Far too often, people have been given the impression that if they'll just accept Jesus as their Savior, then all their troubles will be over. Some even go so far as to say, with Jesus, you can have whatever you want. But how does that line up with what Jesus said about taking up the cross and denying self? In our study of the Word today, we turn to a text that will be familiar to many of you. In fact, once you hear what the text is, you may be tempted to tune me out. Well, I hope you don't do that. Not so much because I have new things to say or teach, but rather because we need regular reminders of the importance of this subject. The text is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and the title of the message is An Acceptable Offering. Now, if you have a Bible close by, I invite you to turn to that text. Some of you won't need to do that because you can quote these verses from memory. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, before we look more closely at these two verses, I want to make some observations about the context in which they're written. Verse 1 uses the word therefore. So we must look back at the previous verses to determine what Paul is referring to. In chapter 11, Paul is highlighting God's mercy. He speaks of how the nation of Israel, as a whole, rejected salvation through Jesus. Because of that rejection, salvation was made available to the Gentiles. He uses the illustration of wild olive branches, that would be the Gentiles, being grafted into the cultivated olive tree, the Jews. He speaks of how the natural branches were broken off because of unbelief, and warns that the same fate awaits the wild branches that were grafted in, if they do not continue in faith. Then in verses 32 and 33 of chapter 4, he says this, For God hath concluded them all, that's both Jews and Gentiles, in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! I believe when we get to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul's use of the word therefore points to the mercy of God expressed in the salvation that is offered to both Jew and Gentile. With that fact in mind, I want us to examine a sequence of three steps that will help us to offer an acceptable offering in response to God's mercy. The first step is a living sacrifice. Paul begins chapter 12 by highlighting again the mercy of God. Then, as a response to God's mercy, he says, I urge you to present or offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Now let's think about what a sacrifice is. The word sacrifice literally means yielding to death. Under the Old Covenant, God prescribed certain sacrifices. The sacrificial system was a demonstration of God's mercy. He made it possible for the sins of mankind to be covered by the blood of the animal sacrifice. Without those sacrifices, man would have needed to die for his own sin. Christ has come as the perfect Lamb of sacrifice and fulfilled the law by offering himself on the altar of the cross. Now, the animal sacrifices are no longer necessary. Paul reminds the Romans that the new covenant called for a new kind of sacrifices, sacrifices that were living. These living sacrifices would be offered in response to the overwhelming riches of God's mercy. You know, dead sacrifices have no will of their own. They cannot make a choice. They just lie on the altar until the flames consume them. But living sacrifices are different. They can make a choice. In fact, someone once said, the trouble with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. That's true. And even Jesus was tempted with that possibility in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why he prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As a living sacrifice, he had a choice, and he chose to offer himself to the Father's will. You and I are called to do the same. In the introduction to this message, I mentioned Jesus' words, If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, sell what he has, give it to the poor, and follow me. That is the process of becoming a living sacrifice. It is death to self. I remind you quickly that this is not done in order to earn salvation. Oh no, salvation is a free gift. But becoming a living sacrifice is the practical outworking of a genuine conversion. Under the Old Covenant, animals for sacrifice had to be perfect, without blemish. Notice the qualifications for this living sacrifice. It must be holy, and it must also be acceptable. That means fully agreeable to God. We cannot offer ourselves on our terms. We must offer ourselves according to God's instructions. Too many times, we want to give God second best. Give him the things we don't really want. Our sacrifice must be holy. Holy means sacred, set apart, pure, and blameless. That holiness must be imparted because there is no holiness intrinsic to our humanity. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. At our conversion, Christ's righteousness becomes ours, and we have a positional perfection. We are accepted by God on that basis. But we are certainly not perfect in our practice. Daily practical holiness is a result of the enabling of God's Holy Spirit and our exercise of spiritual disciplines in obedience to God's Word. Jesus said in John 14:21, He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We are a living sacrifice when we walk in obedience to the commands of Christ. Our obedience is the proof of our love. We can make any claim we want to, but unless we are living in obedience to God and His Word, we cannot truthfully say we are a living sacrifice. The first step in becoming an acceptable offering is to become a living sacrifice. The second step, then, is a logical service. Paul's word urges us not only to become a living sacrifice, but further, to realize that doing so is the only logical response to God's incredible outpouring of mercy on us. His actual words are, which is your reasonable service. As believers, we know that if it were not for the mercy of God, we would be dead. The scriptures plainly teach, the soul that sins, it shall die. And further, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Remember, in the verses just previous to our text, Paul states that God has concluded all in unbelief so that he might show mercy on all. The contrast is clear, death or life. And anyone who has a mind capable of rational thought would not choose death over life. Suppose you were paddling a canoe down the river, and you hit an unseen underwater snag. You're thrown out of the canoe and injured so that you cannot swim. You're helpless, at the mercy of the current, and you know that not too much farther down the stream is a stretch of water you cannot survive. Your cries for help attract attention from the shore, and someone throws a lifeline to you. When the rope comes near, you cry out, Oh no, that rope's the wrong color, or the rope is the wrong size. Or maybe you're thinking, what is this guy going to want in exchange for saving my life? Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that the cheese has slipped off my cracker. You say, that's just not logical. If someone is drowning, they'll grasp anything without question. And of course, you're right. That should reassure you of my sanity. But think about it. Without Christ, we are headed for certain destruction. We know that, and we accept God's gift of salvation through Jesus. But then, when Christ, as our Lord, makes certain claims on our lives by His Word, we respond in the ways I outlined above. And that is not logical. When I realize all that Christ has done for me, I understand I have a debt I can never repay. The Apostle Paul understood that clearly. In Acts 21, verse 13, when his friends urged him not to go up to Jerusalem, he said, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Paul understood the only logical thing to do was to dedicate his life in loving service to the one who had rescued him from sin. Have you and I come to that understanding? We must take this second step if we have any hope of our lives being an acceptable offering to God. And then the final step is a lasting separation. Paul continues his instruction in verse 2 by teaching us how we can become a living sacrifice that is acceptable to God. He begins with a negative command: do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed means to be fashioned like, or molded after, taking the shape of. So we could paraphrase Paul this way: stop letting the world squeeze you into its mold. How grieved the Lord must be when He observes how little difference there is today between the church and the world. More and more, we see the church adopting the ways of the world in a misguided attempt to reach the world with the gospel. Now, often in the Bible, the English word world is a translation of the Greek word cosmos, but not so in this case. The Greek word here is ahinon. If you look in your dictionary, your English dictionary, you'll find this is the source of our English word eon. An eon is a period of time or an age of time. So we are not to be molded by the external and fleeting fashions of this present age or time. Okay, so that's clear. But how do we go about obeying this command? We have the don't. Don't be conformed to this world. And now we have the do. Be transformed. Let me say right here that the only way we can have lasting success in obeying the prohibition against conforming to the world is if we are continually being transformed on the inside. The transformation Paul talks about is literally a metamorphosis. It's a striking change in both character and appearance that takes place, and it happens from the inside out. Think of the insect world, how the lowly caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly. Another question: how is our transformation accomplished? Paul says, by the renewing of our minds. This renewing brings a qualitative change to us. It makes us a different person. And you'll notice here, it starts in the mind, or as we say sometimes, the heart. This is our intellect, the seat of our emotions and affections. It's where we think and feel, where we make moral judgments and decisions. Paul says that our minds are to be renewed so that we may approve those things that are profitable, useful, and fully agreeable with our commitment to transformation. Let me ask you a question. Are the things you're putting into your mind conforming you to the world, or are they transforming you so you can be more like Christ? You know, I cannot believe the things of the world that professing Christians put into their minds and then expect it will not affect the way they think. When my wife and I were married, we made a decision not to have a television in our home. And by the way, that doesn't make us any more holy or any more spiritual than anyone else. We just wanted to be honest about our own weaknesses, and we were convinced that any benefits a TV might bring were far outweighed by the dangers. The vast majority of programming that I've seen focuses on the gratification of our senses. And as Christians, that's the opposite of the way we're instructed to go. We're called to think godly thoughts, thoughts that are pure, lovely, of good report, and so on. We can't do that if we fill our minds with the movies and the music and the activities that the world offers and unbelievers enjoy. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 tell us to put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Our lusts are deceitful because they promise what they cannot deliver. And then Paul goes on to say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. My friend, the only way we can hope to have a lasting separation from the world is by the renewing of our minds. And that renewing can only take place as we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, not the fluff of the world. If you want a good picture of how this renewing works, look at the very first psalm. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like an offering, a life that would be acceptable to God, a life that would be fully agreeable to his purposes, a life that would demonstrate what is his good and acceptable and perfect will. As I bring the message to a close, I am recommitting myself to the goal of being an acceptable offering to God. Will you join me?
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before you in a spirit of repentance. We confess that we too often haven't given you the honor and glory that you deserve. We haven't fully honored the commitments we've made to you. So we come seeking your forgiveness with confidence in your promise that you will forgive. Lord, make the coming days for each of us a time of spiritual growth. Help us to offer ourselves anew as a living sacrifice to you, a sacrifice you can use in any way that you choose. Impress upon our hearts the vastness of your mercy and motivate us to respond in love and obedience to that mercy. I pray these things for both my friend and for me. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our
Well, our time is almost gone. I thank you for joining me for the Voice of Hope today. And you know, we'd love to hear from you. If you were blessed and encouraged by today's program, it only takes a few moments to send an email or to write a note to let us know that you're listening. The easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, an acceptable offering, either in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to the program whenever it's convenient for you. We also encourage you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or you can read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and as I said earlier, we'd love to hear from you. Now once again, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, an acceptable offering, either in print or on an audio CD. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. I've enjoyed being with you today, friend, and I hope you'll join me next week. Lord willing, we'll address the subject, Building a Better Brotherhood. So until then,
shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Give